11, beginning with verse 39. We're cutting it short here on our verses for the sake of time. Beginning with verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. Believed in him. The title of my message this morning is "Don't Tell Me It's Over." Don't tell me it's over. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Let your word touch our hearts, God. And Lord, I'm asking especially, Lord, that you would hide me in the shadow of the cross. For me not to be seen, nor this church to be seen, but we want you to be seen in our lives and for you to get all the glory. So Lord, I thank you now. Let your word penetrate our hearts. Let it do a work in us today. And we just give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The devil loves to see people hurting. He loves to see them feeling desperate. He loves to see people feeling hopeless. In fact, he thrives on our pain, and he thrives on our fears and our confusions and our frustrations. Yet here is the good news this morning already. God will take the worst that the devil can muster up, and he will make it a doorway into the greatest glory that you have ever seen. Amen. I'm going to say some things this morning that you might have to think about. The battles, the struggles, or even the warfare that you see and experience in the world today, it's not really about us fighting the devil. It's really about two forces at odds with each other. Now, we know the devil is a created supernatural being, and he is the ruler of the dark host. As God is the ruler then of all the forces of heaven. So we could say everything then is ultimately is about worship. The battle is over the hearts and the souls of men and women, and who they will worship and who they will serve. Because it is for sure you will serve whoever you worship. If you're sold out to the world and what it offers, that's who you're going to serve. If you're sold out to Jesus Christ, then that's who you're going to serve. The Lord Almighty, you've got to know this, must be worshiped intentionally, acknowledging Him and honoring Him as your supreme King and serving Him out of a heart of love. Satan, on the other hand, does not demand or require that same kind of love and devotion and that intentionality in your worship and your service. Here's what he receives as worship. How about fear and doubt, resentment and criticism, bitterness and hopelessness? So the devil, we know, will create then all kinds of conditions and hardships and even sickness and loss. and he does it in order to get your attention and your affection away from God. And almost any reaction that you have other than intentionally worshiping and magnifying God, the devil then will steal for himself and identify it as worship. Again, he will create circumstances to produce feelings of negativity, such as fear and frustration and despair, and he will take that to himself then as worship. Have you ever looked at a situation that had the word done written on it or over it? Or how about finished or the end or hopeless or give up written all over it? And I think if we'll be honest about it this morning, we've all been there at least one time or the other, maybe more in our lifetime. When we look at this story then in the Bible, we see that the end, we see the hopeless and terminal and forget it written all over it. Mary and Martha watched their brother Lazarus as he became sick and as they watched his life being drained from his body. As the sickness worsened then and he became weaker and weaker, their hope began to slip away. But they had one hope, one last hope, and that was we must send for Jesus because Jesus can heal him. Jesus can stop the plague of death. So what did they do? They sent for Jesus. But guess what? He did not come immediately. Now let's be honest, we have all been in that same situation and some are there possibly this morning. You've been praying and you've been praying and you've been believing for a change and all that has happened is it's gotten worse. In other words, Jesus has not showed up. He's not come through for you and you have just about quit believing for a positive outcome. Now, I admit this is where then this story can cause a little bit of confusion. Because when you read this story, Jesus has gotten the message. So now he knows Lazarus is terminally ill. Jesus knows that all their hopes are that he will come before Lazarus dies and he will heal him. But we see where Jesus deliberately waits until he knows Lazarus has died. Then he simply says then to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep. I must go and wake him up." Now, I think it's very possible that we could rightly assume that in Jesus' humanity, he wanted to rush to Lazarus' side the moment that he heard that he was sick. Why? Because that was his friend. But Jesus said this of himself, "I only speak what I hear my Father speak, and I only do what my Father tells me to do." So now we can understand that Jesus' reluctance then to rush to Lazarus' side came from his acting in obedience and in harmony with the Father's will. Now, I personally believe, again, that it was very hard on Jesus' humanity to not drop everything that he was doing and run to the aid of his dear friend Lazarus. So why then the delay? The delay was and still is for the greater glory. If Jesus would have rushed immediately to Lazarus' side and kept him from dying, many of the unbelieving Jews would have said, "Well, he wasn't really that sick. He just recovered. It was just coincidental that Jesus prayed for him before his recovery." So here is something then that we rarely recognize. When we are crying out for a miracle, when we're desiring a healing, a breakthrough, a restoration, or a deliverance, Our attention and our intensity and focus normally is all centered upon that particular need that we have. Can you say amen? And we assume that since that is what our full attention is, that must be where God is focusing His attention to. You've got to understand, of course, God cares about your needs and He cares about my needs. And God feels our pain and our sorrow, and He knows all about our struggles. But what we have to recognize is that God is a multitasker, okay? A multitasker, if I may use that word. He wants His full attention on meeting your need. Yet we have to understand God's ultimate desire, or you want His full attention on meeting your need. Yet we have to understand God's ultimate desire then, watch this, is to first grow us up. Number two, reveal Himself more fully to us. How about just to mature our faith? We need that. And yes, then, for Him to be glorified. Now, we think God is completely occupied then with meeting our need. That's what we want. But God is even more committed then to growing our faith and our confidence in Him. Jesus could have arrived before Lazarus died and healed him. Why did He not do that? Because God was going for a greater glory. And you might say, yeah, the greater glory is Lazarus being raised from the dead. Well, now that's true. But Jesus was wanting to see some faith resurrected in Mary and in Martha. Mary and Martha both had, watch this, they had, we believe you can heal him faith, but when Lazarus died, so did their faith. Jesus deliberately waited two more days. Now, we take a look into the spiritual realm and we get a glimpse then of what is happening when you pray and you don't see any change. And sometimes it feels like God isn't even listening. Why are you, Lord? But I'm here to remind you this morning that He does listen to our prayers. And He is listening today to our prayers. Jesus waited for Lazarus to die in order to solicit a dead raising faith in Mary and Martha. That's how much He valued them. When Lazarus died, guess what they did? They turned their faith off. They said, well, that it's over. It's finished. I don't believe anymore. And they rolled the stone over the door. Understand with me that the stone was not just a boulder blocking the door to Lazarus' tomb. That stone was now like a gravestone that said, here lies the faith of Mary and Martha. That stone said, well, we believed up to this point, but our faith ended right here. Listen to me closely this morning. You may just be at that point right now in your life. You may be in the very act of rolling the stone across the door and calling it done. But you need to hold on. Tell your neighbor, just hold on. When Jesus came, they did not rush to meet Him with passionate, living faith. They met Him with frustration. They met Him with a disappointment. And there was probably even some resentment. Because we see they actually scolded Him. Jesus, here's what they said. If you had gotten here sooner, our brother would not have had to die. Now, let's be fair about this. You would be upset too if you believe someone could come and heal you and deliver you and give you a miracle, but for whatever reason, they didn't come. And let's go a step further. We have all been disappointed at one time or the other. Amen? Amen. That God did not come through when or how we wanted Him to. If all Jesus was asked after was to perform a miracle and raise Lazarus from the dead, He would have just said, take me to the grave and he would have raised Lazarus from the dead. But we know he didn't do that. Understand with me right now that God loves you and me dearly. He loves us dearly. But his ultimate reason for everything he does is for his glory. Absolutely everything is that he will be glorified. That means when he does it, how he does it, where he does it, or if he even doesn't do it at all. Everything is determined then and decided by the degree of glory that is going to be brought to him. Lazarus is now dead, but Jesus starts speaking to them about their faith. He says to Mary and to Martha, if you believe, you will see. If you believe, you will see. So why is he speaking this way? Doesn't he know that it's over? I mean, it's obvious that it's over. The reason Jesus speaks then to them about their faith is they needed their own faith to be resurrected. We all need that sometime. The first resurrection then, that day, was the faith of Mary and Martha. Now you may be standing today in that same place where Mary and Martha stood. You're looking at a stone that says, the end. It's hopeless. It's over. I don't see a way out. It could be a physical situation where it seems like sickness has ruled the day. And everything is saying, give up, pull the plug, it's over, end of story. Or maybe it's a relationship between you and your children. Or maybe you and your siblings. Or it could be even in your marriage. There might not be one spark left. And everything you're feeling or not feeling is telling you it's over. Or it could be a financial struggle where you feel like you're sunk. You can't see any way out of that hole that you're in. It could be even your ministry, your own giftings. Something happened maybe that sets you back and you feel like it's over. And even the devil is telling you, well, it's over. You can't use your giftings there anymore. You might as well just stay home. Watch it online. Maybe you simply blew it. Maybe you slipped and you fell into sin, and then let's just get where the rubber meets the road. Maybe you just jumped slap dab into it. That's Southern slang, slap dab. If that's the case, listen, I need you to listen to me closely. There is what is called forgiveness. The Bible says, if you will confess your sins, God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. And he is just, the Bible says, to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All it takes is, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry. He's already forgiven you. He forgave you at the cross. Past sins, present sins, and future sins. What he wants us to do is just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up today. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your blood. Thank you for what you did on Calvary for me. That's all it takes. And then you don't lift up that thing again. You don't do that thing again. Let him heal you. Maybe you didn't slip at all. Maybe it's just jealousy and envy and criticism by those the enemy is using then to destroy your giftings, destroy your ministry. And you're feeling like it's over. You got hit hard. You got hurt by people's words. And you're thinking, well, what's the use anyway? And you're thinking it's over. Let's be honest, we've all been there also. Many are possibly there again this morning. I know that this is what the devil is trying to accomplish in the lives of countless believers and even in this country. That's why I'm bringing this word again today at the end of the year. He's trying to paint a picture of hopelessness, and he's trying to paint a picture of despair and make things look so bad that you will roll the stone over the door and you'll pull the plug on your faith. It's no matter. Why I try is nothing's going to change. Listen, it'll change for you as a believer. It may not change for the unbeliever out there who does not have faith in God, who does not trust God, who has not ever surrendered to the Lord. No, things won't change because the world does not bring hope or anything. But it will change for us as believers. Again, the devil loves to see people feeling desperate and feeling hopeless. He thrives on our pain. He thrives on our anger and our frustration and our hurts and our resentment. Now, I gave this analogy some time ago, and I want to bring it again to your remembrance for this message. Many times, paramedics will treat a patient who goes into cardiac arrest, but they don't say, "Oh, that's too bad. We lost another one," and they pull the sheet over him on the way to the hospital. No, they first keep trying. They get the electric paddles out. They shock that heart to get, hopefully, to get it beating again. It's not always successful, but many times it is. In other words, many patients live because the paramedics did not quit. Thank you, Lord. They don't look at the evidence on the screen and call it done. Even though all they see then is a flat line there at first. No, what do? They keep working on that patient. And then suddenly the flat line jumps. And then something happens that they call conversion. They say, "We have conversion. We have conversion." You may have been praying then for your spouse or for your children for things to change. All you see is a flat line. This is for somebody this morning. There's no response. And the devil wants you to call it done, that it's no use. He wants you to say it's over. So just roll the stone over the door and go on with your life. But you need to get those Holy Ghost paddles out and keep praying. Keep on praying. Because it could be just one more Holy Ghost shock and we all have conversion. Here's what conversion means. The process of changing or causing something to change from one form to the other. From sickness to health, sorrow to joy, anxiety to peace, stress to rest, loss to found, bound to free, fretful to faithful, fearful to courageous, discouraged to being happy, depressed and to be blessed then. Can I just go ahead and tell you something? I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you you're on the verge of conversion. Woo! You're on the edge of a breakthrough. You're on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up now. Don't turn that switch of faith off. I did this in the last message. I want you to do it again. Point to someone. And just like I said before, I know Mama told me never to point, but it's okay because Mama's not here. You point and say, you're getting ready to see something that looked impossible, but it's about to become possible because Jesus is getting ready to show up. Amen. Don't put those shock paddles away. Don't you quit praying. In fact, turn up the voltage. Look at somebody and say, "Turn up the voltage." Why? Because some situations in our lives, some situations are stubborn. And guess what? They require a little more voltage. What does that mean, Pastor? Start using the prayer language that God gave you. You may not know what you're praying, and the enemy will not know. But guess what? He's going to find out. Especially when he gets hit with a lightning bolt that stops his plundering and his pilfering and messing with your life. Oh, yes, God will do it. What did the little lady say in the kitchen on that movie War Room? Today I'm going to kick the devil's butt. I got to go back and watch that again, I'm telling you. Listen, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, don't give the devil any pleasure. Don't give him an ounce of attention. You keep on praising God anyhow. Well, the devil's been after me all week long. Praise his holy name. No. 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 It's not over. Determine that you're going to keep going. You're not going to submit to fear. You're not going to submit to doubt. You're not going to submit to depression. Listen, we have to declare God's word over our lives. We got to declare God's word in the face of the devil. Lord, I refuse to become angry at you. I refuse to be critical. I refuse to be resentful to others. I refuse to give the devil one crumb to rejoice over. Lord, my hope is in you. Hope for my family. Hope for my healing. Hope for deliverance. Hope for my own breakthrough. Hope for my miracle. My hope is in God, and I don't believe it's over. Finally, we see there is a spark, and faith comes back alive in Mary and Martha. They say, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come to the world. And this is what Jesus then wanted to hear, because faith is the determining factor of everything about our lives. And as Jesus then instructs for them to take away the stone, sadly we see yet again Mary and Martha's faith begins to waver. But Lord, he's been dead 4 days, but now he stinks. This is like saying, okay, Lord, we got it. We believe you can do this, but to tell the truth, we've moved on. We don't really want to stir this up again, Lord. But Jesus jolts them back, for lack of a better word, to their faith confession. Did I not say that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Let me just ask you, what do you think Jesus was saying there? Here's what I think he was saying. I'm not afraid of this stink. I can handle it no matter how bad it is. Well, I just don't have any stink, Pastor. Oh, how many would be honest enough to say that you're glad that Jesus did not let the stink stop him when it come to our lives? So what does Jesus do? He cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, the Bible says, came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. I don't know what Lazarus means to you today. Again, it could be a relationship that looks and feels like it has died. It could be your hopes. It could be your dreams for the future that you desired and you have even planned for. And it could be even your walk with God. It may be so far away from God that you may be so far away from God that you don't even feel His presence anymore. And we know that list can go on and on. And I really don't know, again, what Lazarus means to you, but you do. But what I see in this story is this. There is a situation that is screaming hopeless. But Jesus is saying, don't say it's over. Don't say it's over. I don't know who this is for today. I'm just the messenger, and I have delivered the message. And if you know that this message then touches your life in some way, then in a moment I want us to all agree together for a resurrection anointing to be released. To be released on your behalf. And I believe the reason then that God wanted me to preach this is because there are some situations that are looking hopeless. And the devil is pushing hard to get you to say it's over. He wants you to say, roll the stone across the door. He's wanting you to say, put a no trespassing sign over this. But listen, I hear God saying this, if you'll just believe, if you'll just believe, if you'll just believe, if you'll just keep praising Him, if you'll just agree with me that it's not over, you will see the glory of God in your situation. Can you worship the Lord with a hand clap right now? Thank you, Lord. We find then that through this miracle, many came to know and believe the Lord. Can I just tell you, I believe God is setting the stage then for something that will be indisputable and undeniable in your life. Again, if you'll just believe. Many that would not listen to your words will not be able to defy or dispute the miracles that God is doing in you. Why? Because they're going to see it. They're going to see the change. In chapter 12, we find later Jesus came to visit Mary and Martha and Lazarus and to have a meal together. And the Bible says there in chapter 12 that many came to see not just Jesus, but they came to see Lazarus, the miracle man, the one who had been dead for 4 days and was raised from the dead. And they left believing. Can you just take that next step and declare over yourself, I don't believe it's over. I don't believe it's over. God is working on my behalf. And I am a miracle in motion. I am a miracle in motion. It may not look like it, but Lord, I'm going to declare it anyway. I'm going to praise You. I'm going to keep believing in spite. As we close today, Brother Galen, would you come up? And please, don't leave unless you have to. Let's all stand together. But I want us to do something. Again, would you all together, let's just gather down front here. The Lord wants to do something here at the end today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just gather down, young and old, and if you need to sit on the front, that's okay. Just do that, but you'll be up here close by. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't go far, Daniel. Don't go too far. Come on down, brother. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sister Cherry, would you help Sister Margaret back there? Just if she could come on down. There we go. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Oh my gosh. One last scripture passage. Psalms 126, 1 through 3. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Now listen to me now. I believe God is going to do something in your life that is so unbelievable, magnificent, that you're going to say, somebody, you just got to pinch me. You just got to pinch me. This is too good to be true. Well, can I just tell you, no, it's not. It's too good to be true, because we serve a great big God. Amen. So what are you desiring today? What are you needing to happen in your life today? He's not just the God of enough. He didn't intend for us to live in the land of not enough, and He did not intend for us to live in the land of just enough. He intends for us to live down here on this earth right now in the land of more than enough. You begin to thank Him for what He's going to do in your life. We thank Him for what He's already done. Oh my gosh. I thank Him for pulling me out of the pit, setting me up on a rock. Thank goodness He didn't leave me there. He's done so much for me, but He's ready to do so much more. And He's going to continue to do more until He comes back for us. The world is getting crazy. It's going to be even more crazy. But guess what? As believers, we don't live according to the world's economy. We live according to God's economy. I don't have the room and I don't have the money to buy a truckload of pails of chili. Or pails of mac and cheese. Oh, I might get 3 or 4 cans of something and have up there in case something happens. But I'm telling you, that's where you're going to have to depend on God. Guess what He did for us? We got a pallet full back there of toilet paper in the gym. When they go for the shelves again, guess what? We're going to have toilet paper to distribute to you guys. You'll never be without toilet paper. Because what He did with the 5,000, you know, the loaves and the fishes, guess what? We start giving you toilet paper, it's just going to multiply. Don't worry, God's going to take care of us. Amen. Always has and always will. Oh my gosh. I've seen it in my own life. I'm a living testimony. So don't tell me it's over. Amen. Because I don't believe it's over. Hallelujah. Something we want to do, and I've asked these here to do it with me, and I'm going to speak to those online here in just a moment. But I've got 3 little things of oil. If all of each, Brother Sister North, Brother Sister Wallace, Amber's not here, so Sister Cherry's going to assist Brother Brandon there. And in a minute, I want y'all, they're going to just anoint you with oil. And they're going to say 3 things. Guys, here's what I want you to say. God's not through working. The devil is a liar. And you're a miracle in motion. In Jesus' name. God's not through working. The devil is a liar. And you're a miracle in motion. All right, they're going to spread out. Y'all get the ones in the middle. Cherry and them are going to, and Brother and Sister North, go ahead. And those watching online today, thank you. You might be watching this at a later time, but I want to tell you, I'm declaring over y'all, everyone that's listening here, God's not through working in your life. The devil is a liar, and you are a miracle in motion. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank y'all for watching today. I love you. Hope you can be with us soon. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.